Turning again, please, in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And with God's word open before us, let us bow together in a moment's prayer. Father, we come to thee again and ask for help now for the preaching and hearing of thy word. We have read it together. And we ask that thou, by thy Spirit, would now write it upon our hearts. And as we would consider those things that we have read, we pray for the application of thy truth to our lives, so that our lives may be in accordance to thy divine will and good pleasure. That we would be those who would follow after the Lord, keep his commandments, stick to his ways, and not turn aside. Lord, give us help to thee, both in the preaching and the hearing of thy truth, that we may not simply be hearers of it, but doers of the word of God. These things we ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now, it's my intention to look at a number of verses in this passage, but if I was to leave one with you, it would be verse 12. For Moses speaks of the land of promise that the children of Israel are about to enter into, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And as we stand on the brink of a new year, New Year's always bring an opportunity for a new beginning. And as we look back over the past 12 months, perhaps we are reminded of our failures. We can look back perhaps at certain hardships or losses. And we'd like to think that the new year before us, 2019, could in many ways be better than the year just passed. And that's true for us all in many different ways. Perhaps there's a sinful habit that you'd like to break from, or some unfinished business that you'd like to take care of, or you'd like to move on from some of the disappointments and failures that were experienced in the last 12 months. Well, here in our text this morning, the children of Israel are on the brink of a new beginning. You'll remember how the nation of Israel had failed to trust God and to obey him when the opportunity to enter into the promised land had been given to them some 40 years previously. They'd wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of that disobedience, and now they are encamped on the eastern bank of the River Jordan, looking across the water into the promised land, and now is their time to step forward into the land of promise. And so to prepare them for the great task that was now at hand, Moses brings a message to the children of Israel, one that will stir them up and encourage them as they cross over into the promised possession, that they are to go across trusting in God's provision, looking for God's presence, and relying upon God's protection. So as we stand on the brink of a new year, I hope that your hearts are filled with anticipation and challenge. And while we realize that only God knows what the future may hold for us, but the possibilities are limitless. And so we step into a new year facing many of the same challenges that Moses gave to his people so long ago. So there are certain things I'd like to leave with you that I hope will be an encouragement as we step into 2019, may we be relying first of all upon God's provision. God's provision. He is the great provider. He is the source of every good thing. We are reminded in the book of James of every good and perfect gift that it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is the source of all good. And He has provided for the children of Israel a new homeland, a promised land. And we look at verses 10 and 11. Moses says concerning this land, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go in to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven." So certain things about the land of promise that I think are worthy of our attention this morning. You notice first of all that Moses says that concerning this land in verse 11 that it's a land of hills and valleys. A land of hills and valleys. And in that regard, it's nothing like the land of Egypt from whence they've come out. Egypt, by and large, is a very flat land. There are few valleys and no mountains to be found there, but Canaan land was different. Everywhere they travelled throughout Canaan land, they encountered hills and they encountered valleys. If you don't already know this, let me point it out to you, but 2019 will be a year of hills and valleys. There will be times when you will experience the mountain topics. There will be times when you'll stand high in the presence of God. And there will be other times that you will walk through the valleys of life. So be aware, as we are on the brink of entering this new year, that we do not enter it blindly, but with the knowledge that it will bring both the upward experiences as well as the downward times also. Be that as it may, let us remember that both the ups and the downs are controlled by the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 23 puts it so succinctly for us: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." The steps of a good man, be they upward steps or downward steps, be they up the side of the hill or down the side of the valley, the steps of God's children are ordered by the Lord. So don't be surprised if at times you descend from the mountaintop experience into the valley. None of us truly knows what lies ahead for us. But the good thing is that when we walk with God, we walk with one who knows the way before us. He knows what lies before. He has intimately and carefully prepared the way for us. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And since the Lord has ordered our steps, be they to the mountains or into the valleys, we don't need to worry. And we ought not to fear. But we should aim to walk quietly and peacefully and humbly and reverently with the Lord as He leads us through the ups and the downs of 2019. Because this new land that lies before us is a land of hills and valleys. Now, what else are we told about this land? We're told about the watering of the land. You notice back in verse 10 that Moses tells the people that the land that they're going to is not like the land of Egypt, where they come out and where they sowed their seed and watered it with my foot and as with a garden of herbs. They had immense irrigation systems in Egypt. Often we talk about watering with their foot, paddle powered that put the water through the irrigation streams to water the land. Those who lived and farmed in Egypt had to work very hard to bring their water from the Nile River, to push it through the irrigation streams to where their crops would be found in order to provide the necessary moisture for their crops to grow. They relied heavily upon the yearly flooding of the River Nile to fertilize the land. And that flooding process, as you might well imagine, while it watered the land, was also very destructive. There was a great deal of soil erosion with the water as it swept in and out. Now Moses tells the children of Israel that Canaan's going to be different. In Egypt you have to work hard to get your water to the places that you needed it. But in Canaan land, God himself will see to it that you have the water that you need. The land where you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. God himself will see to it that you will have the water that's required for the planting of your crops and for the harvesting of it. You'll not need to dig canals. You'll not need to build complicated irrigation systems to make the land fertile. You simply have to rely upon the Lord to take care of these things. He will cause the rain of heaven to fall upon the land. And undoubtedly it would run off the hills and water the valleys, and the land will flourish as a result. God has promised to them that in the verses 13 through to 17, that if they walked humbly in obedience before him, that he would see to it that their needs would be met and that the rain would come in due season. Verse 17 says, then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land shall not yield her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. God has promised, walk in obedience with me, and I will send the rain. I will water the land. I will make every provision that you need. Just walk before me in obedience. What a lesson for the church today. Egypt is always a picture or representation of the world that we've left behind and on our way to the land of promise. In Egypt they struggle from day to day to provide the things that they need. They work and they labor, and under the sweat of their brow they try to provide for themselves and take care of themselves, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And very often the things that they are engaged in to water one area can be destructive against another place. However, we have entered into the place of rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do not struggle as others. As we pass through the days of our lives, we serve a God who has promised to take care of his children. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, Paul said. The Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 of all of the things that people take care of, the food that they eat, the clothes that they wear. But the Lord Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. God will take care of them. He will see to it that the rain falls as it is needed. And so through 2019, there will be times that we will have needs. There will be expectations, requirements. And we must look to the Lord to provide those needs. Verse 14, the Lord promises that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain. How encouraging it is to see that the Lord provides not only the early rain for the seed time, but the latter rain for the harvest. Both are important to grow a good crop. So as we cross into this new year, let us do so with the assurance that God, who has sent us the rains of blessing in the past, will send us more rain in the future. Let us realize our dependence upon the supernatural provision of God. And may He be pleased to send the rain. We often use that expression in terms of the reviving of God's church. The showers of blessing, that's what we're praying for. Send the showers of blessing. These showers are promised to those who walk in obedience. Through a land of hills and valleys, God has promised to send His rain. Now, we see something of God's provision in these things. But what about His presence? Well, verse 12 tells us of this land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. They're crossing into a land on which God has His eye. He's constantly watching. His attention is upon it from the beginning of the year right through to the end of the year. No doubt there were some in the children of Israel who doubted if they were able to accomplish the task of taking the promised land. No doubt the report of the spies that came some 40 years previously still resonates in the hearts of many. The land is filled with giants. There are huge walled cities that lie before us. Moses says, this is a land upon which the Lord your God has His eye. These things aren't hidden from the Lord. These things aren't past His understanding. This year that we are about to embark upon is one that God cares for. He has purposed it. He has planned it. It's filled with fresh opportunities. What a blessing it is to cross over into a new year in the very presence of God Himself. And we're told something about the extent of His presence. We see that His presence is promised at all times. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. God is constantly and continually watching. We sang this morning from Psalm 121 of the Lord that neither slumbers nor sleeps. Nothing's going to take the Lord unawares. We're not going to have to worry as we make our way through this year whether God sees what's happening. He sees it all. His eyes are always upon it. He's the one who can number the hairs of our head. He's the one who witnesses the sparrow fall to the ground. Nothing's hidden from His eyes. He sees everything that's before us. He promises then to be a witness to all that happens. We enter into this year not only assured of God's provision, but relying upon His constant presence. He is there at all times, and He will be there in all places, whether we are on the mountaintop or whether we are in the valley. You'll be able to go singing like David, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. God's presence is assured to us. His provision is promised. And His protection is all around us. The people of Israel will not enter the land unopposed. There will be many enemies to face, ungodly pagan enemies, but God assures them that He will go before them and He will drive out their enemies. And you look on down through the chapter, verse 23, for instance, the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as He hath said unto you. I'm reminded of the words of Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? 34 times during the days of Israel's wilderness wanderings, God sounded the triumphant note, "You will possess the land." Not might possess the land, or you maybe possess the land. The land had been given to them by the Lord. It was theirs. They will be victorious in entering into it. They will conquer the inhabitants. They will possess it. It was their land. Nothing and no one could stand in the way of that becoming a reality. Now, there isn't a person here this morning that knows what this year before us will bring into view, but I can tell you this with absolute confidence. When the mixture of hills and valleys are all averaged together, when everything is considered from the perspective of the Lord, and when all of the smoke is cleared and the dust has settled, we will see that God has indeed brought us into the land of promise, the place of victory in our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all going to be fun, or that we're not going to face difficulties or problems. But what I am saying is this: in the final analysis, there will be the blessing of the Lord. God's promise to His children is one of victory and not of defeat. In summing up all of the enemies that the believer faces in Romans 8, of principalities and powers, of the kingdoms of darkness and the rulers and high places, of life and death itself, you know what Paul's triumphant shout at the end of that was? In all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The victory is secure. Even before we set foot upon the field of battle, as we follow the Lord, He will help us to walk in that proof. So that as we make our way over the hills and through the valleys of this new year, that the victory is assured. Promise has been given. Now, there are certain conditions for receiving these promises. The natural benefits of the land of promise is a temptation, I suppose, that might lure the people into a certain sense of complacency, a sense of independence that they'd have in the land itself and not relying upon the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. So the Lord tells them that these continued blessings are conditional. The promise will not be for everyone. The promise will be for those who will meet the conditions that are listed here. Now, what are the conditions? Look at verse 13. And it shall come to pass if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. The promise of God's provision, of His presence and His protection, are yours if You hearken diligently unto the Lord's commands, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. We are to love the Lord. You'll no doubt be familiar with the words of verse 13. They are a restating of what's known as the Shema from chapter 6 and verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is what the Lord Jesus described as the greatest commandment of all. Religious ritual is of no value to those who neglect this most important command. In fact, the reason that we break most of the other commandments, I'm going to say the reason we break all of the other commandments, is because we have failed to keep this first and most important command. We wouldn't defile ourselves with sin if we truly loved God with all of our hearts and served him with all of our soul. And so here we find the primary purpose for the children of Israel, the thing that's most important overall, to love God. Everything in life must have a primary purpose. The primary purpose of a pen is to write. It's better to have a cheap plastic pen that works than an expensive one that doesn't. The primary purpose of your car is to transport you from one place to another. And it's better to have an old car that starts every time you turn the key than to have a brand new shiny one that doesn't work. Because when something ceases to fulfill its primary purpose, it becomes useless. You can drive past all number of wrecking yards where old cars are lined up side by side to be taken apart and sold for spare parts. And those cars were once brand new and bright and shiny and considered to be valuable, but today they're just rusting pieces of metal. And could it be that so many Christians are defeated in their lives because they're failing at the fulfilling of what is their primary purpose? And what is man's primary purpose? What is our chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To love the Lord our God. And when we love the Lord our God, then we will hearken diligently unto him. Hearken diligently. What does it mean to hearken diligently? Well, to hearken means to hear. But to hearken diligently means more than just listening with our ears. It means putting into practice what we have heard. It simply means to obey. Hearken diligently. To listen carefully, that's the first step. Then to obey what we have heard, being the next step. If you want God's blessings in 2019, heed his word and put it into practice. Obey him as the Spirit of God provides you with the necessary strength and ability to do so. Love the Lord. Obey the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Are you serving God? Can you look at one particular aspect of your life and say, this is a ministry that I do for God. This is something that I do to share the good news of the gospel. Perhaps it's a friend or a neighbor that you take aside. Maybe you go out for a coffee, but do you tell them of the Lord? To serve the Lord. There's a final warning given in verses 16 and 17. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth. You see, it would have been so easy for the children of Israel to become engaged in what was that naturalistic religion, the worship of Baal. Baal was a force of nature. They looked to him for the provision of the harvest. And so it would be so easy in a land that God had blessed to just simply be satisfied with the productivity of their flocks and their herds and their vegetable gardens, and to look upon all of these things from a very naturalistic point of view. So the warning is given, lest they be deceived by what appears to be a cause and effect reality, and worship gods of nature that aren't gods at all. They're to worship the true God. And so verse 22 informs them again that if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave to him. Cleaved. That's the same word we find in Genesis chapter 2. God creates Adam and Eve and tells them, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Don't drift away. Don't backslide on God. Don't grow cold. Don't allow the things of this world to separate you from that close walk with the Savior. I would challenge you, as you're about to set foot into the land of promise of 2019, to make a commitment to go through this year with God. To make a commitment to read his word on a daily basis. To come before him in prayer and commune with him. To commit to a regular attendance at the house of God. To commit yourself to come to the seasons of prayer and to ask God's blessing upon this church and upon the communities in which we live. To make that commitment to stay close to God. Not to depart from him, but to walk in all his ways and to cleave unto him. To make that commitment unto him. What could be more simple? The only thing the children of Israel have to do is to love the Lord, walk in obedience to his word, and God would keep them in the center of his hand where the blessings were assured. The only thing that keeps the blessing of God from them is their disobedience. And the same is true for us. The only thing that can prevent you and I from enjoying the victory that is promised in the Lord is our disobedience. That's the only thing that can hinder us. May we walk humbly before the Lord. May we be obedient and patient in our ways before him. May we look for his continued presence, knowing that he has promised never to leave us or forsake us. May we recognize that victory can be ours in the land before us, to be our inheritance, if we love the Lord our God and serve him with all of our heart and with all of our soul, and hearken diligently unto his commands. Then we know that the year of 2019, with all the hills and the valleys that lie before us, that they'll all be watered by the Lord, the early and the latter rain, and there'll be a fruitfulness that God has promised to give. May we know and experience that wonderful joy of stepping into this year hand in hand with our Savior. May the Lord enable us to be committed unto him, and may the windows of heaven be opened, and the blessings of God fall upon us, we pray. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, We thank you for the challenge of thy word once again. To even read of this historical account of the children of Israel crossing into the land of promise, with the assurance that the eyes of the Lord would continually be upon them from the beginning of the year through to its end. Promise of his presence, promise of his power and protection. And oh, for the wonderful provisions that were in store for them. Father, we ask that thou would help us to overcome the failures of 2018. And the many times that we've grown cold of heart and distant from the Lord. May 2019 be a year of closeness with the Savior. A year of commitment and of cleaving unto him. And as we make our way through the hills and the valleys, may we be able to say with David that we will not fear, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. Be with us now, we pray. We ask in the Savior's name.